Hello, and welcome to Silver Threads, a weekly program of information on how you can make your senior year shine. I'm Kathy Van Skoik. Fortunate are those of us who haven't had to visit the emergency room recently. However, if you have had to be in one lately, you might have been fortunate to have the benefit of one of more suited to the elder individual, or a geriatric ER. Otherwise, the experience might have been frustrating or even traumatic. But changes are coming as the percentage of those 65 plus in ERs keeps growing. Today's articles report on some of the hospitals that have incorporated a senior-focused comprehensive care protocol and environment, including from AARP's July 23, 2019, Hospitals Remake Emergency Rooms for Older Patients by Jennifer Wolf. From the Wall Street Journal, Emergency Rooms Get a Makeover for the Elderly, April 2019, by Beth Howard. And HealthyAging.org offers 10 things to look for in a senior-friendly emergency room. And finally, Senior Care Corner, caring for the whole senior. Hospitals Remake Emergency Rooms for Older Parents. Changes come. Judith Burgess lay atop the gurney, her head propped up by a mountain of pillows, her hands clutching her black leather handbag. She's been in the New York City Mount Sinai Medical Center emergency department for close to 20 hours, but she doesn't seem to mind. The people here really care about senior citizens, says Burgess, 74, who suffers from rheumatoid arthritis, has no cartilage in her knees, and on this day has been admitted for stomach pain, symptoms of her colon cancer. For many older patients, a trip to the emergency room can be traumatic, even dangerous. Long waits, uncomfortable beds, germ-filled surroundings, and a loud and hectic pace can exact a toll on people who are often hobbled by multiple health issues and whose immune systems may be compromised. But the emergency room at Mount Sinai is a decidedly different experience. The waits are still long, as evidenced by Burgess's extended tenure, but they are not painful or dangerous. If anything, Burgess says, being here gives me a chance for a little rest. Mount Sinai is classified as a level 2 trauma center. That means that the patients who come through its emergency room are very sick, often deathly ill. Burgess is sick, too, but she's not critical. So while doctors attend to patients with more pressing medical needs, Mount Sinai's multidisciplinary geriatric emergency team is working its magic. The Bright Pink Care and Respect for Elders in Emergencies program, volunteer sticker on the shoulder of Burgess's hospital gown indicates that she's gotten at least some of the attention she needs, which, in addition to having been seen by a doctor, means an extra pillow and blanket, a coloring book to pass the time, and a purple stress ball to ease her tension. If she needed it, she could have also gotten a pair of reading glasses in the appropriate strength, a hearing amplifier, and even a Sudoku puzzle to keep her cognitively engaged. I have a hospital much closer to my home than this one, she says, but I always pass it by. People here are nice. I get taken care of. Mount Sinai's Geriatric Emergency Department, called the Geri-Ed for short, opened in 2012. At that time, it occupied an 8-bed corner of the ED and featured warming lights, non-glare floors, and plastic curtain rods instead of those metal kind that sound like fingernails scratching across a chalkboard when they are pushed aside. Today, in the Geri-Ed, the team assigned to anyone over 65 includes doctors, nurses, case managers, social workers, pharmacists, and even physical therapists. The elderly often present with atypical symptoms, said Denise Nasisi, MD, and head of Mount Sinai's geriatric ED. If they're having angina, they may not have chest pain. If they have an infection, they may not have a high fever or an elevated white blood cell count. Having this collaborative team support means we can do more for patients in the ED. They also better handle the host of comorbidities that can make a diagnosis even more confounding. Because of the wonders of modern medicine, people are surviving longer, so they have extensive medical histories that can include diabetes and stroke and hypertension. And you have to stop for a second and figure out what brought them here today, Nasisi says. Mount Sinai is the first in New York State to specialize in emergency geriatric medicine and one of but 9 medical centers nationwide accredited for geriatric care by the American College of Emergency Physicians. Other hospitals with geriatric emergency departments include St. Joseph's University Medical Center in Paterson, New Jersey, Holy Cross Hospital in Silver Spring, Maryland, and the 5 Aurora Healthcare Hospitals in Wisconsin. At the latter, non-slip floors are part of the design, as is a lighting system designed to help fight delirium, a condition that older adults are especially prone to in hospitals. St. Joseph's aims to see every patient in its geriatric ER within 14 minutes, while Holy Cross offers large button remote controls and phones. The need for more facilities of this type is great. Nearly 2/3 of all Medicare patients are admitted to the hospital through the emergency room, according to a Rand Health study. And because between 2005 and 2016, the number of people over age 65 visiting ERs rose by more than 27%, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The emergency room is overwhelming regardless of age, but even more so for older people with few social supports who at their baseline are often more confused and vulnerable, said Sherry Kaplan, director of the Department of Volunteer Services at Mount Sinai. They can range from saying, "I'm totally fine and I don't need help," to being tearful and admitting to feeling scared and lonely and sad. Being multidisciplinary, we have the nursing team assessing for fall risk and proper medication management while social workers check in on social supports. We tailor everything to the specific needs of each patient, she says. Back before Mount Sinai's emergency department focused so closely on patients 65 and older, who comprised 20% of its emergency room patients, they were just mixed in with everyone else, Nasisi says. She and her staff knew they weren't always getting accurate enough medical information from the older patients to know how to best treat them, so they usually played it safe and often just admitted them. But what seemed safe wasn't always best for the patient, she said, adding that sometimes the best thing for patients with non-acute issues, like urinary tract infections or a minor flu, is to send them home, but with the proper supports in place. It's at this stage where the geriatric collaborative team does its most important work. If a patient comes in alone, which between 30% to 40% of the elderly do, rather than admit her unnecessarily, the team will make sure she leaves with a visiting nurse service appointment set up for the next day, medication and instructions on how to use it, and maybe even a physical therapy or PT evaluation. That is, if a physical therapist didn't already do an evaluation in the ER. It was unheard of to have PT in the ER, Nasisi says. At first, I didn't even know what to do with them. Today, Mount Sinai physical therapists play an important role in assessing the needs of older patients, many of whom, Nasisi notes, are in their 90s. A 2018 study in the Journal of the American Geriatric Society shows that providing people over 65 who go to the emergency room with the kind of transitional support they need to get and stay healthy at home has reduced hospital admissions for that age group by 33%. Education has also been key to making Mount Sinai's geriatric ED run smoothly. Everyone from doctors and nurses to desk clerks and volunteers are trained in the nuances of geriatric medicine. We need everyone to understand that these patients could be hard of hearing or confused or aren't as mobile as they think they are, Nasisi said. Nurses automatically screen for elder abuse, fall risk, dementia, and delirium, and take patients through the six-item ISAR, Identification of Seniors at Risk, questionnaire that asks about vision, memory, medication, and the ability patients have to take care of themselves. We have had symposiums on delirium, which differs from dementia because it's an illness-induced, and when new interns come to the ER, we give them special sessions on geriatric care, she says. In a more central area of Mount Sinai's ED lies 76-year-old Harry Simmons, who arrived 9 hours earlier at around 1 a.m., complaining of bloody stools. Harry was a corporate attorney, and his wife, Joyce Connolly Simmons, 74, is a dining etiquette teacher. She sits beside him on a straight-backed metal chair, holding her cheetah print cane. Harry wears a hospital mask over his mouth. Joyce's hangs around her neck. They both have the bright pink CARE stickers affixed to their garments and are holding a stress ball in each of their hands. They are sensitive to his needs, Joyce says, adding that many doctors have come to see her husband, who will soon be admitted, and volunteers have been bringing her food and doing all they can to make them both feel as comfortable as possible under the circumstances. Soon, Harry will likely be transferred to the peaceful corner of the department where Burgess still lies, awaiting her room, the one with the dim lights, the whispering nurses, and the quiet curtains. Joyce looks forward to that. It's pretty loud in here, she says. I may even get some sleep. Emergency rooms get a makeover for the elderly. Traditional ERs are ill-suited for geriatric patients who find it hard to bounce back after a visit to the hospital. At UC San Diego Health in La Jolla, California, examining rooms in the geriatric ER can let in daylight, which helps patients combat delirium. Marcus Overton isn't a stranger to emergency rooms, and he doesn't like them. They're chaotic and loud, says the 75-year-old San Diego resident who battles diabetes and heart valve problems. They usually put you in a bed, pull a curtain around you, and you wait. But last month, the former actor and arts administrator sought treatment for shortness of breath at the ER designed for elderly patients and their families. It was a wholly different experience. It's quiet, he said of the 11-bed unit at UC San Diego Health in La Jolla. You're in a room where you can look at a beautiful mural and doze in between visits from the folks who are trying to find out what's wrong with you. ERs designed for seniors are being created around the country. Hospitals with geriatric emergency departments include the one mentioned before, St. Joseph's University Medical Center in Patterson, Holy Cross in Silver Spring, and the 5 Aurora Healthcare Hospitals in Wisconsin, plus Mount Sinai in New York. And more such centers are expected as the retirement age population continues to increase. Visits to emergency rooms by people age 65 and over rose by more than 27% from 2005 to 2015, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. There's a growing awareness that the traditional design of emergency department care isn't well suited to frail older adults, says Kevin J. Baez, an emergency medicine physician who heads the new Geriatric ED Accreditation Board of the American College of Emergency Physicians, or ACEP. Emergency care was designed for things like heart attacks and gunshot wounds, Dr. Baez says, but seniors tend to present with complications from conditions like diabetes and heart failure and injuries from falls. While any ER can treat heart issues and broken bones, geriatric ERs also look at the context of the emergency. In the case of a fall, for example, the staff typically will investigate its cause, such as a medication side effect or sign of a medical condition, check a patient's balance, and even assess their home for fall risks. A key goal of geriatric ERs is to save the patient from being admitted to the hospital, where they face a greater risk for hospital-acquired infections, delirium, and falls. Even short hospitalizations can have detrimental long-term effects. Older patients tend to not bounce back as well if they're admitted to the hospital the way a younger person would have, said Denise Nasisi, director of the Geriatric Emergency Department at Mount Sinai. They will often lose one of their activities of daily living, perhaps irreversibly. To prevent a potential downward spiral, staff at a geriatric ER might instruct a social worker to assess a patient's home for problems like rugs that can cause falls. Doctors might prescribe a visiting nurse service so a patient can receive IV antibiotics at home or a stint in a rehabilitation facility. Data show that such practices can help older people avoid unnecessary hospital admissions by as much as 16%, according to a 2018 study in the Journal of the American Geriatric Society. So far, more than 50 geriatric emergency departments have earned the Geriatric Emergency Department Accreditation, or GEDA, and more than 100 are in the process of getting accredited nationwide, according to ACEP's Dr. Baez. There are three different levels of accreditation, each requiring an increasing number of features, policies, and practices. It isn't necessary to create a separate ER, for example. Existing ERs can be accredited by following certain processes and policies, such as employing geriatric specialists or using screening tools for problems like depression and dementia. Providing comfortable seating for family and 24/7 access to food and drinks can be other qualifying features. At the UC San Diego facility in La Jolla, part of the Sulpizio Cardiovascular Center, the geriatric ER occupies a separate space with sound-absorbing walls, a lighting system that orients patients to the time of day to combat delirium, a common condition for older adults in hospitals, and non-slip flooring to protect against falls. Many of the structural elements are meant for safety and to provide a soothing environment for them and their families, said Dr. Vishal Tolia, head of the UC San Diego unit. Geriatric ERs typically rely on a multidisciplinary team with advanced training. At the UC San Diego unit, nurses trained in geriatric care screen patients for issues such as cognitive impairment, depression, elder abuse, and fall risk. These nurses are empowered to pull in case managers, social workers, nutritionists, physical therapists, and in some cases, palliative care specialists. Pharmacists will consult on drug side effects and interactions since seniors are often taking several medications. Mark Rosenberg, chair of emergency medicine at St. Joseph's Health in Patterson, says he was thinking about his elderly mother when he established one of the first dedicated geriatric emergency rooms in 2009. His mother made numerous trips to an ER in her South Florida community in 2005 following treatment for an aortic aneurysm. Every time she would go there, she was afraid, Dr. Rosenberg says. She was either near somebody who was a drug overdose or a stabbing victim or a crying child, and she hated it so much that sometimes she would even leave against medical advice. In the 20-bed emergency room for seniors at St. Joseph's, the goal is to have no patient wait longer than 14 minutes to be seen, Dr. Rosenberg said, and care providers have geriatric training and conduct risk assessments for factors like dementia and dietary problems that might worsen patients' health problems. These providers can make referrals to specialists and connect patients to community resources like Meals on Wheels. The unit has age-friendly design elements such as a thicker mattress for frail bodies and pleasant lighting. It also features creature comforts from aromatherapy and books to live harp music. A typical stay is about 4 hours, said Dr. Rosenberg, so we wanted them to be comfortable and have whatever they needed, just like they were in a first-class cabin of a high-class airline. And now, from HealthyAging.org, 10 things to look for in a senior-friendly emergency room. If you are older or you care for an older person, it can be helpful to learn more about the ER that is closest to where you live. This is where you will likely be taken if you need emergency care. When you visit, ask the ER staff the five questions about to be heard, and after these five questions are five things to look for in the ER. First, is there someone on the ER staff with specialized training in the care of older adults? Geriatricians are doctors with advanced training in caring for older people. Nurses, physician assistants, and other members of the healthcare team may also have advanced training in geriatrics. These professionals are important members of the ER team because older people may respond differently to medications and other treatments than younger people do. Geriatrics health professionals are well aware of these differences. Is there someone at the hospital I can speak with about advance directives? They are legal papers that explain what kind of end-of-life care a person wants and doesn't want. For example, an advance directive, an older person might note that they do not want to be kept alive on a respirator. How do you help make triage less stressful for older people? Triage is a standard system for deciding which patients at an ER get treated first, with triage patients who need care the most get treated first. Because ERs are often busy, waits can be long for those who don't need immediate help. And this can be a problem because older adults who have long waits may run an increased risk of developing delirium in the ER. Ask the ER staff if they can move an older person to a quieter, calmer room if they have a long wait. What do you do to limit the number of transitions of care that older adults go through after they reach ER? Between the time they reach the ER and the time they return to their home, older adults may be moved to new locations several times. For example, they may be transferred to an intensive care unit, to a hospital room, to a rehabilitation facility, and back to where they live. With each move or care transition, patients get care from different healthcare providers. However, research shows that older people who go through fewer transitions are given fewer inappropriate medications and have better health outcomes. Does the hospital use medication reconciliation and full pharmacy reviews? These practices lower the chance that an older patient will get incorrect medications or medicines at the wrong doses. Medication errors are the most common medical errors. Many of these errors can be avoided with regular medication reconciliations. These reviews involve making a complete list of a patient's medications and then comparing that list with the list of medications in the patient's record. Pharmacy reviews involve creating a complete and correct list of the current medications a patient should be taking every time the patient moves from one healthcare setting to another. And here are five things to look for. 1. Handrails along the walls. These help older patients avoid falling while standing or walking. 2. Appropriate wall treatments and lighting. Light-colored, non-shining walls and floors can both boost lighting and reduce glare in an ER. Glare on shiny surfaces can make it harder for older adults to see the edges of pale-colored surfaces. This can cause confusion. At the same time, colors that contrast too much, such as bright blue and bright orange, can make older people feel dizzy. Indirect light that bounces off walls or ceilings can increase overall room brightness without creating glare. Exposure to natural light, such as through windows, can help with recovery in the ER and may help decrease delirium. 3. Special reclining examination chairs. These are more comfortable than standard exam chairs, and it can also be easier for older adults to sit in and get up from these special chairs. Warming blankets. They and other devices can help older people warm up if they've gotten cold. Older adults tend to have more difficulty staying warm than younger people do. And finally, bedside commodes. For some older adults, using a standard toilet or simply walking to the bathroom can be difficult and may lead to falls. Besides, commodes, which look like a cross between a chair and a toilet, can help. The height can be adjusted so the older person can sit on and get off the commode easily and safely. The source for this was the Geriatric Emergency Department guidelines developed and endorsed by the American College of Emergency Physicians. And now from the Senior Care Corner, resources for family caregivers of older adults, hospital ERs changing to provide more senior-friendly care. By Kathy Burkett, caring for the whole senior. Senior-friendly ERs don't want to simply treat the illness or injury, prescribe more medications, and send the elder home. They want to be sure that the senior is safe at home, managing their health, and will be able to live their lives to the fullest. Care managers can help fill any deficits by scheduling aftercare appointments to further investigate unmet needs. They also follow up the next day to be sure all instructions are understood and no other problems arise. Healthcare providers and specially designed senior-friendly ERs look at the whole person and take time to listen. Many seniors are vulnerable and require an extra level of attention to be safe and well. It has been shown that this type of intervention does not lengthen the amount of time spent in the ER because the care is coordinated. Partnering with emergency medical services or EMS personnel helps with performing some of the assessments. EMSs can look at the home environment, including food in the refrigerator or other areas of concern, while they are performing their in-home assessment prior to transport. This includes seniors who live in facilities other than home. Senior-friendly ERs should also ask how the family caregiver is coping. Well, I did a bit of research to see if any of our local hospitals had elder-centered emergency rooms. I discovered that the Wolk Emergency at U of R Medicine Highland Hospital has 6 rooms dedicated to elders with many of the design and protocols mentioned in the previous article in place. This includes a stroke center and a fracture center. In addition, the medical staff has had training in geriatrics. A video accessible at their website was quite enlightening and encouraging. I assure you that you will enjoy it if you go there to listen to it. Thanks for listening, and until next week, I'm Kathy Van Skoik. You've been listening to Silver Threads, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Kathy Van Skoik. I hope you will join me again next week for more information and updates for making the best of your silver years. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.